how that Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That's the gospel. It also causes separation. If you're unsaved, you still have sin, you're separated from God, you can talk about God, you can talk about religion till you're blue in the face, you are separated from Him. It is only through the faith in that gospel, having repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, having been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit, as we talked about in Sunday school, having the Spirit in you, having been washed by the blood and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, now you have fellowship with God. Amen. Until then, you're separated. But even after that, you can be saved, but in a practical sense, you can separate yourself in fellowship from God. If you let that sin creep in and you live in sin, there will be a separation between you and the Lord in your fellowship and your relationship. And so that's what leprosy pictures is also. Leprosy is a body of death. In the unsaved man, leprosy pictures that unsaved man. I mean, you heard dead man walking. That's what an unsaved man or woman is. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. And if they die in that condition, they'll suffer the second death. But even again, on a practical level, you can be saved. But you let sin creep in. The Bible was clear. I want to look at it. 1 Corinthians, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse, we'll say 16. Verse 16. If you let sin in your life, then on a practical level, you become leprous. And verse 16, we're told, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" That's what I was talking about. When you're saved, the Spirit of God comes into you. That's why we don't call this building a temple. We don't have an altar. The only sacrifice we offer is sacrifices of praise and sacrifice of love and sacrifice of our tithes and offerings and that kind of thing. But it's not for salvation, and it's not a... And you go to some churches like the Catholic Church, and they'll have what we call communion. They call it Mass, and they call it a sacrifice. That's a lie. The Mass is not a sacrifice. They can claim that all they want, but it's a fraud. That wine that they drink does not turn into the blood of Jesus. That wafer that they eat does not turn into the flesh of Jesus. Amen. We do that in remembrance of Him, and we're not offering a sacrifice. We're obeying the Lord and remembering His death until He returns. Amen. So it reminds us of His return as well. But it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Read verse 17. If any man... Wait a minute, are you there? How many of you can read? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you can read. Okay, a couple of you can't. We'll have to get you in homeschooling. Now read verse 17 with me out loud. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God... What? Say it again. Destroy. I just want to make sure it's in your Bible. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. See, you are the temple of God with the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. And if you turn leprous in God's sight, you let sin come over and consume and take over your life, God will kill you. Is that not what it says? Anyone want to debate that? We're Bible believers here. Amen. We love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen? Amen? Now, a lot of people don't like the fact God will still take you to heaven. And they'll try to tell you lose your salvation. You don't lose salvation. Up above there in verses 13 through 15, it describes how that you will suffer loss in your rewards. And it'll be the most embarrassing moment of your life. When you burn and your works just burn and there's no reward. And some Christians don't take that stuff seriously, but all I can do is tell you about it and pray that you take it seriously. So as a Christian, you could actually be a dead man walking in the physical flesh, in your flesh alone. Your spirit, your soul will be saved, and your body will eventually be redeemed. But it's all true, and you're hopeless without God. The sinner who's unsaved, the leper without Christ, has no hope. The suicide rate is skyrocketing. Why? Because there are a bunch of unsaved people, for the most part. There are some professing Christians who become suicidal, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But almost all the suicides you hear of are people who don't know Jesus, and they're without hope. And they've deceived themselves into thinking, you die, you just die. There's no hell. My God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, that's how bad and stupid your God is. Our God is holy. Our God does not allow sin into heaven. You have to have your sins washed. You have to be saved. And if you don't, you choose to go to hell, and that's where you're going to go. And that stupid God you've got can't even help you through trials and troubles, so you blow your head off or pop a bunch of pills or hang yourself or whatever. That's what happens when you don't have Jesus. You don't have hope. Now, I'd say two things. I mentioned one about before I get there about suicide with Christians. There are brain injuries, brain damage. There are things physically that can cause people to lose their capacity of thought. And that doesn't mean everybody who has mental illness or anything like that is unsaved. But I'm here to tell you right now, the pharmaceutical companies are abusing people, and the doctors are abusing people. Child abuse in America is rampant, where they throw kids on Ritalin and all kinds of useless drugs they don't need. And those are the ones who then grow up to need the stronger stuff. And because they want to make kids sit still in a classroom of 30 other kids with one adult for 6 hours a day. Shame on the stupid parents doing that. The kids ain't the problem. They're just kids. We only ask the kids not scream and yell or, you know, make a lot of noise for 45 minutes. I don't expect them to just sit and stare at me the whole time. But that's what they do for 6 hours a day in the so-called public schools. I think public schools are child abuse. Until they get up to, you know, the age where they should be adult enough to sit still, then that's fine. But I think a lot of this stuff we do in our culture is just insane. Just insane. But when you leave God, you lose common sense, you lose, you know, and that's why our country is filled with people with no hope. And that's why they're killing themselves at record numbers. The most prosperous nation in human history. And they hate the president and they hate themselves and want to blow their heads off. I just described most of the Democrats in this country. It's the truth. How can you be so prosperous as we are in this country and hate the president? Because you're brainwashed. And how can you be so, I mean, we've got it all, folks. Amen. As far as prosperity and everything goes, why is the suicide rate so high? Leprosy. Spiritual leprosy. And it requires a blood atonement. Without the blood of Jesus, you die in your leprosy. Without the blood of Jesus, you die in your sin. So that's how you can see how leprosy is a type. So think of that now as you read about the lepers in the scripture and all that. And this leper wisely seeks out the Lord Jesus. Amen. Folks, there are lepers spiritually in countries where there's not even churches or Christians, and they seek out the Lord. Saudi Arabians, people in North Korea are being saved all the time. Not by the numbers we'd like to see, but it's happening. Why? Because the Holy Ghost speaks to them through creation to begin with. And through common sense. It takes a scientist to be so stupid to think there's no God. You take the normal average person who watches the sun rise and set. It just speaks to your soul. There's someone who rose from the dead. The sun sets and it rises. What's that? Burial, resurrection. Yep. There's just so much in the creation. Study, and you talk about homeschool. Yeah. Amberlynn's getting Brielle into homeschooling, and she's gonna hopefully be able to get one of those little models of the eyeball, or a model of the ear, the whole system of the ear. And you study that and think that that's an accident, you're nuts. God speaks through His creation, including your own eyeball, your own earball, and the all balls. And this leper had more sense than most, he has more sense than all unsaved people who remain unsaved. He comes and seeks out the Lord. Now, I do believe that even this leper was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. God draws men, but a lot of people immediately say no. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You can rest assured that unsaved loved one of yours has been drawn by the Spirit of God. Amen. You still do your part. You still preach the gospel. You still pray for him, but God does his part. So verse 12 closes and says, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. That's the right response. And besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This is a confession of faith in Jesus. Notice, we're going to talk about this more next week. Notice he did not say, and I'll say, Lord willing. But notice he did not put his faith in his faith. His confession was in Jesus, not his own faith. Today's charismatic movement is of the devil. They are teaching people to confess their faith in their faith and not in Jesus. Faith in your faith is pure arrogance.
Amen. Yeah.
People who live by that, oh, I have the faith, faith believing. Finish the sentence. Faith believing in Jesus. That's the right kind of faith.
Amen.
You just have this generic faith. You go around believing in stuff. That's why they believe such heresy. All these people you talk to, they're caught up in nonsense. Their eyes are off of Jesus. They're not looking for His return. They're having too much fun down here, most of them. Once in a while, you run into the exception. You get caught up in that word faith stuff, it'll rob you of any depth. It'll rob you of discernment. And they will rob your wallet. If you come all every service last year, you can count on your hand, one hand how many times I brought up offerings and giving. You go to one of those churches, you're going to hear it every stinking time you walk into that place. Because it's arrogance. It's all related. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
That's what motivates the word faith movement, money. That's why they all say, God has told me that I need my own jet. So Creflo and all the other creeps on TV are out there robbing people. Joyce Myers, Crook. Huh? Benny Hinn, yeah. Yeah, sometimes one of their relatives, or in some cases even their offspring, will come out and tell. Rob. But of course, as we studied last Wednesday, if you didn't see it, we talked about the rise of false prophets and false teachers. It's those guys are filthy, full of filthy lucre. They're motivated by the wrong spirit and all that. But you know, the problem is the stupid people are giving the money. There are people who, this isn't a good excuse, but their excuse for rejecting the biblical truth and not coming to a good church is because their mother or their grandmother gave all the family inheritance over to some TV preacher. It's amazing how often I've run across those people. And they're always these charismatic word faith. Every time. The power is in the object of faith, and His name is Jesus. When I don't pray with faith believing most of the time. And I get answered prayer all the time. These guys that say you have to have faith and your faith has to, the word of faith and confession of faith. I can't tell you how many times I prayed and said, well, Lord, you know, I don't deserve it. And, you know, it's going to take quite a thing for you to answer this prayer. But, you know, Jenny's car, I'll tell you this, yesterday she gets in her car and the left rear wheel is just locked up. Won't move. And I ran out there and I put my hands on that car and I said, Lord, with faith believing. I actually didn't do that, but I've seen that done. And at one time it was a bus for a gospel group. And they went to a church that was teaching that stuff. And so several people out of the church grabbed me because they knew I was a pastor, youth assistant pastor at a nearby church. And they said, come on, we got come out here. We got to have prayer. Well, I'm all for praying. Don't get me wrong. But they actually popped the hood on the bus and everybody put their hand on the engine block. And prayed with faith, believing that you'd start this bus. And they went on a little bit and a couple of people speaking in tongues. All right, start her up. Now I was thinking, we had our hands on the wrong thing. That sounds like the starter. And it never did start. All that faith believing. Now, there's been times, We had our battery, you know, wouldn't start. We'd help Charlie, and he got his car towed in. We forgot to lay hands on it. But anyway, we prayed, though. We prayed, and you want to give a little testimony? God's provided, hasn't he? He's going to have that car fixed less than he expected, and someone's just helping him out. How many times that happened to you? A few of you? Yeah. So I'm expecting to go home and find that Kia is turned into a Porsche. No, but our faith is in Jesus, and we leave the results up to Him. And if He decides that we only need one car for a little while, then so be it. And whatever the case is. So look at verse 13. Back in Luke 5, verse 13. How did Jesus respond? If you dare read it. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And in a spiritual sense, in type, this works every time. You have sinned against a holy God, if you will call on Him, repenting toward God from any religion you're involved in, repenting from your own opinions, repenting of your sin, and turning to God, and believe how that Christ died for your sins. When He shed His blood, He paid the full price for sin. That wasn't just blood, it was the blood of God. And then He rose again and conquered sin and death. And if you'll believe that, you will be made. It doesn't say, by the way, you start the process and you got to, you know, be faithful unto death and be baptized and become a church member and give a certain amount of money and do this and don't ever cuss. And if you cuss and die before you can repent, you go to hell. That's what a lot of churches teach. It says immediately. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. Amen. The moment you repent toward God and believe that gospel, immediately you become His son. He adopts you into the family. And adoption, even now, talk to somebody about adoption and the laws about adoption, and it's impossible to kick them out of the family. It's easier to get rid of your natural offspring. And that was true here. Back when the Bible was written and talked about adoption, you adopted, you didn't kick them back out of the family a year later if you didn't like them. And that's what a lot of churches, that's their gospel. Be saved, but if you mess up, God's going to kick you out. No, thank God, that's not how it works. Come to Jesus for cleansing, amen? And He will make you clean. And a reminder, this takes place at the end of the 69th week of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. So back to the story as it unfolded. It's a little different than it would be for us today. And we have this chart online. You go to bbfire.com, look under resources, and you can download all of our charts. And you'll see there, the life of Christ ends 69 weeks. We're in that little yellow portion, the dispensation of the gospel of grace. Amen. That ends when you and I go out of here. Amen. And then some point after that, the Antichrist will confirm the Mosaic covenant again for seven last years. That's the 70th week. Law. And this, where we're reading, is law. It's under that dispensation. So note the practical motivation, though, in verse 13. I will be thou clean, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Actually, that's verse. Look at verse 14 is where I'm pointing at. Read verse 14 with me. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto thee. See, you wouldn't do that today. When God heals you, you don't go down to the temple and offer an animal sacrifice. But you should offer a sacrifice of praise. Don't ever be embarrassed to come in here and say, I'd like to share a testimony, Pastor, and I'll be happy to let you do that. When God answers prayer, especially if there's healing or something like that, it's wonderful. But look at the last five words. That's the motivation for a testimony unto them. So under this dispensation, he would go to the temple and do what Moses said to do as a testimony of the power of Jesus. And that's what you and I do, although we don't go to a temple, we become the temple. And once you're made clean by the blood of Jesus, be a testimony. If you're saved here today, you have something to testify about. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I don't have much of a testimony. I never did, you know, do drugs and hire hookers and all that kind of thing. You don't have to do that to have a testimony. Amen. What you have to do is just tell the truth. You're a sinner who deserved hell. And I'm here to testify that Jesus saved me and He'll save you too. And this was Paul's purpose in life. Real quick, I want to look at Acts chapter 20. It's the last place we'll turn, but look at Acts chapter 20. Beginning verse 16. Acts 20, verse 16. This is about Paul. I'll read the first couple of verses while you turn there. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now, beginning verse 19, read with me. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was Paul's life after he got saved. Every one of us should have that same attitude. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a teacher. But all of us are called to testify. We're all called to have that attitude. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So we want to follow that example. And reminder that the dispensation of law, while no longer applicable, but it was the right thing to do during the Mosaic dispensation of law. And so we close with this thought. Are you clean? I think, looking around, everybody here, I believe, has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And Malachi and Thomas and anyone else who's been saved recently, if you listen to this study, you heard what happened to you when you got saved. And that's true of all of us. If you're saved, you had spiritual leprosy. You were a dead man walking. But Jesus has cleansed you. And that should just make you love Him like nobody else. Amen. One of the things I love about my wife is when we met, I made sure she understood that I would always love one person more than her. Amen. And that's Jesus. And what I loved about her response was, that's exactly how she felt. Amen. And she wouldn't have married me if I'd said otherwise. If so, if you're clean, is your purpose in life to testify of the Savior who made you clean? All of us fail. I've talked about how I'll go out and I'm like, oh, I forgot the gospel tracts. What and I don't have time to talk to him. I just feel like such a failure at that moment. Sometimes I'll go out to the car if I got them out there, or I'll go, go home and get them, or next time I come by that way, I'll stop and see if I can find the same person. Doesn't always work out. I've failed many times. But God knows your intent. God knows you're trying, and that's what it's about, the heart I'm talking about. Do you even think about it? When you wake up every day, you give some thought about how, oh Lord, give me the opportunity. I want to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. Go to the coffee shop, I want to leave a track. Go out for lunch or dinner, I want to leave a gospel.
There's no cheese on the moon and pink elephants don't fly. We did not evolve from a monkey over time. If you make a funny face, it's not gonna freeze, and your closest relative is not a chimpanzee. There's a fairy tale for grown-ups, a scientific fraud. Silly men with secrets and telling lies on God. This fairy tale for grown-ups spreads like a germ, and if you get infected, you'll believe you came from worms. There's no cow who ever lived who leapt over the moon. Your own family tree does not include baboons. And if you kiss a frog, he won't become a man. And your great Uncle Fred is not a orangutan. There's a fairy tale for grown-ups, a scientific fraud. Silly men with secrets in telling lies on God. This fairy tale for grown-ups spreads like a germ, and if you get infected, you believe you came from worms. And if you get infected, you believe you came from worms. There's no cheese on the moon, and pink elephants don't fly. We did not evolve from a monkey over time. If you make a funny face, it's not gonna freeze, and your closest relative is not a chimpanzee. There's a fairy tale for grown-ups, a scientific fraud. Silly men with secrets in telling lies on God. This fairy tale for grown-ups.